accession number 14599, reel 4.
Your position at Bourlon Wood. I think you were in a defensive position here, weren't you?
That's right.
After the Battle of Cambrai,
yes.
Late 1917.
Yes.
Do you remember anything else about that?
Only that we were stuck there. And,
what sort of position was it? You know, were you in good trenches?
We got into the German trenches. So we were able to hold them all right. But they kept making short attacks, you know, not big attacks, but a few men coming over and making an attempt to break through. And of course we were able to stop them straight away. We were able to hold them, contain them.
I think you mentioned early on that you experienced gas during this period. Is that right?
Yes.
At Bourlon Wood.
Yes. Well, it was gas shells, and as they went plop, a sort of a gas came out of them, but that was the lacrimatory gas, the first lot, and it made your eyes water. As soon as you found out, you could bump your eyes and get the gas mask on. You were all right.
Did the effects of that last for a long time?
Oh, it did, yes. Made my eyes still run like taps. My eyes are now run like taps. Now, I never did. Never really got over that. Although my eyesight has always been very good. Well, we came down when that was in the Mars retreat, wasn't it? Was that the Mars retreat? Fleskiers. I'm getting a bit hazy about some of these places.
Well, your memory is amazing, but perhaps you could tell me about the Mars retreat. And where, would you have been at Square?
We were right up near Cambrai, on the hills, overlooking Cambrai. And they broke through on the right of us, through a Scottish division. I don't know, it's the 9th or the 51st. But of course, once the flank had gone, we had to come back. There was no use stopping there and getting outflanked.
How massive was that? The beginning of that push forward.
Oh, it was very big. Yes.
Did you have any anticipation that something like that was brewing?
No. I think one of our officers came along and said, well, there's going to be a heavy German attack. But that was about all he said to us. But you know, the cause of that was the Russian army had given in. The Russians had completely capitulated.
Did you know about that yourself at the time?
Yes, we heard about it. And of course, all the German forces that were fought in Russia came over in front of us. You could see you could hear the things rumbling, all those things rumbling.
So how did your machine guns stand up against that initial push forward from the Germans? How were you able to
we kept every now and again they make a push, and
own position there. Did you have any position of responsibility?
I was number one on the gun, that's all. You know, I used to do the firing. And the other ones, my number two used to be at the side, feeding the belts in. The other gun numbers were filling the belts. When they filled it by hand, there was always a chance of a stoppage. But then we had somebody sent us down a machine, like a machine, miniature machine, and you put your bullets in, turn the handle, and it filled the belt. You filled the belt in no time, instead of those, it all had to be filled by hand. And you'd got to get them in. You've got to get them in right tight, or otherwise you've got a stoppage in the gun.
And during this period of the German push on the 21st of March, did you find that you were using up a lot of ammunition?
Well, yes. We ran short, completely short of ammunition. That's why I said to Monty, I said, we want some ammunition, sir. We're nearly out of ammunition. Well, our section sergeant was hit, and the platoon officer was hit, and of course I was number one on the gun. I just had to tell the fellas what to do, but I didn't have any rank or anything. I just said, you know, get these belts filled.
With this German attack, what form did it take? I mean, would it have been first of all artillery and then infantry?
Artillery and then infantry.
Yes. What sort of heavy artillery were they using?
They had light and heavy artillery. There was everything coming over. Some huge, great shells, some quite small ones. But they lay a barrage down, you know. And of course, when we tried to put machine guns out of action with their artillery, and when we opened fire, they always tried to put us out of action with the artillery fire.
So what was it like when the infantry attack started? There you were in your trench, you know. What was it like when the German infantry attacked?
Well, I was sitting behind the gun, and first of all, they sent a barrage over, you know, shell barrage, and lumps were hitting the gun, bouncing off, and hitting the gun, and hitting the tripod, and they came over, but they gave up after a while. We opened fire and kept firing. I got to, come on, come on, some more belts. Well, I sat behind, saw the men in front and just fired at them.
Were they very thick, the men coming towards you?
Well, in the... the Prussian Guard fusiliers on the right of the Somme, when they came over, they were shoulder to shoulder. They were a wonderful target. But when the Bavarian League came, they took the same as us. They were about four paces apart. But they took a lot of casualties.
And you had both groups, did you? Did you have to deal with both groups, the Bavarians and the Prussians?
Not at the same time.
No.
The Prussian Guard Fusiliers, when we were on the Somme.
That was earlier.
We were over to the right of the Somme, and they put this Prussian Guard Fusiliers over, and we managed to hold them. But the Bavarian League was right towards the end of the war.
And that would have been in the March push, would it?
That's right.
So were they getting many casualties? Were you able to deal with a lot of them with your machine guns?
Oh yes, by that time we'd got a lot of extra guns, so we gave them a terrible time. The Bavarians got much worse time than the Prussian Guards usually is.
At what stage in a battle like that do you decide that you have to retreat? What is it that forces you to make that decision? Because you were explaining it was up to you now, wasn't it? With your officers gone.
Yeah. Well, I decided that, looking round, I found that the Germans had got right through the back of the 9th Division, I think it was, it's the old jocks, the Scottish Division, and they were coming round the back of us. So I thought, if we stop here, we'll all be captured. So I said, come on, pack up, carry as much ammunition as you can, and any spare boats you've got, we draped round our shoulders. And picked up the gun and the tripod and carried it. We had to carry it back. There's no transport up there. You just, and my goodness, didn't it make your shoulders ache? And of course, me being the number one on the gun, I had to carry the barrel of the gun.
So there was still a gap for you to get through, was there?
Oh, yes. Our side was all right. Just further over on the right where they'd gone.
Where were you heading in your retreat? Where were you making for?
We're just going back. Just get on the main road and kept going back. But we got to Owlbear. And Owlbear on the right-hand side, it's great stiff, steep cliffs. And we got up on the cliffs up there. And that held them. They couldn't get at us. And we could fire. Monty got us some ammunition. We filled the belts all up. We had several belts with us. Filled the belts all up. And we kept firing all as much as we possibly could. And of course, we held them all there until there was Battle of Amiens. We went over into the Battle of Amiens, and to my surprise, the German troops were giving in. We took 20 prisoners in one day, and there was hundreds of prisoners. When we got back, we could see them all coming back from different parts of the front, German prisoners. In fact, there's some pictures of them in one of that big book right underneath.
Oh, I'll have a look when we have a break. Yes, that would be interesting to see. But if I could go back to the retreat, you know, with the German march push, how many miles would you have had to walk with your machine gun, do you think, and tripod draped around you?
I think it was nearly 50 miles. I should think it was nearly 50 miles. It was 9 days. We were 9 days on that retreat.
Is this the time when you were starving?
Yes. We were all hungry. Unfortunately, I got a couple of packets of biscuits. Because all the cooks and they had a little mobile kitchen, you know, on wheels, with a big boiler in it and a stove to make all our meals. And of course that had gone back. They'd gone. And nobody ever came up and said, do you want anything to eat? Nobody thought about anything to eat. But once we got to Owlbear and got on that high ground, they got things organised and they soon got some food to us.
Was there much panic, no, during the retreat, would you say? Did you witness any panic?
You know, you're tired and hungry. You didn't have time to panic. All you could think about was, let's get back.
I was wondering about the state of the roads, and was there much chaos and confusion?
Where we were, we just kept marching all the time.
And how about your morale? How did you, what was your morale like?
Well, it was pretty good. Pretty good.
Even though you were retreating?
Although we were retreating. But once we got on the high ground, we were fine.
You mentioned the Battle of Amiens. Could you tell me about this? This would be in August, wouldn't it?
1919. That's right, yes.
I believe tanks were involved in
that
battle.
Oh, yes. We had dozens of tanks. And we went over. And of course, the tanks did demoralise the German army, because they hadn't got any. And our tanks absolutely demoralised the German army. And they began to get fed up and surrender. One packet of 20 surrendered all at once, and they'd got their guns and everything there. They just put their hands up. All right, Tommy. They were all called us Tommy.
Was it good to be on the move?
Oh yes.
This stage?
Yes, it was so nice. Once you're really winning, my golly, don't I feel good?
The Battle of Amiens, did you do much firing with your machine gun? Now, I'm wondering what your role was. You say you went over with the tanks. What you were actually doing?
We followed them up, and then consolidated the ground, dug in. As soon as we got there, we captured a lot of men, but we dug in for the night, and probably had to go over again the next morning. They kept moving as fast as possible. In the finish, the German army just collapsed. At one stage they took us over to Armentières. We did an attack there and captured Lille. When we got in there, the Germans were still in Lille, and we had one killed and four wounded in the street fighting. And I kept jumping into a doorway because the big bullets were flying all over the place. But once we got through Lille, the Germans kept surrendering. It was absolutely wonderful when you found you were really winning. Went through Lille, and then we had a big march past. There was Churchill, Montgomery, and the mayor of Lille up on a deer dais, and we marched past and the next day we all got going again, move straight on.
That would have been the occasion of the liberation of Lille, wouldn't it?
That's right, yes.
So where did you advance to after that?
We went right across Belgium. I can't think of the names of the places now. Went right through Belgium. We stopped in one village, And we were put out by in a farmhouse, and the farmer could speak English. He's Belgian, but he'd speak English. And he's telling us, he said, we were talking about the Prussian Guard Fusiliers. I said, we beat the Blighters. He said, I has them here. He said, and when did the Prussian Guard officers should have a pair of light gloves on? He came down, and his groom had a horse, brought his horse. He wiped the horse. He said, if he found a speck of dirt on it, he had that man taken down and flogged. I said, no. Yes, honestly, he said, it used to upset us too. It used to upset us. That's all right.
Yes, that's right.
He said that used to upset us. He used to have his servant or groom, whoever it was, flogged. But somebody said that they nearly all had Russian servants with them. The Prussian Guard officers.
How about crossing rivers and things? Did you have problems when you had to cross rivers or streams when bridges had been blown?
Oh yeah, well. Actually, there was a bridge outside this town after the battle of after we captured Lille. We were going through this place, and there was a canal ran right through the. To the left of this town, and we were being held up, but they came along with the pontoons and shoved it into the water, and got us across, got all us machine gunners across first, and then the cavalry came across. But that was the only water time we were in water. I don't know what the name of the canal was, or the name of the village.
Well, it's a long time ago, isn't it?
Yes,
you've done so well. Yes, it's interesting, you've mentioned the cavalry several times, that you witnessed them. Well, was it pretty obvious at that time that they were going to become redundant in war?
Oh, yes. Yes, it was absolutely suicide, the cavalry man. Once or twice the horses had come back with a dead man in the saddle. Sometimes the horse had come back with three legs, hopping along on three legs. Oh, it was murder. And they never ought to put cavalry over and that sort of thing. The only time I saw a German horseman, a cavalryman, he came out of the side of a wood on horseback. We blasted away at him, but he turned around and galloped away. He got away. And I think he must have been one of the German scouts.
And that was your only sighting of German horses?
German horses, yes.
Yes.
They had cavalry, had several cavalry units. When we were training in England at Woodbridge in Suffolk, there was a big cavalry depot there. And we used to take our gun where there was a dip in the terrain, and we used to stick a target up and have a go at it, see. And one day I was firing and I looked, and across there was a whole troop of cavalry coming. I thought to myself, God, you'd be right in our sights. So the officer gave me the order to fire. That's the way they used to stand and say, fire. And I didn't fire. He came in, now what's the matter with you? I said, cavalry, sir. Where? I can't see any cavalry. I said, they've just gone down that ridge, yes, sir. They'll be here in a minute. And they came in, God, he said, you haven't half got good eyesight. He couldn't pick them up with his glasses. It was the Welsh horse. It was a yeomanry lot. You know, they weren't regular cavalry, the yeomanry lot.
Must have been a great advantage to have good eyesight.
Yes.
Did they test you for eyesight?
No. Nobody tested me at all. Just taps your chest. The doctor just tapped the chest, and the only thing is they had a card up with some numbers or letters on. Read that. That's all right. Now you're going to get in.
Did you find, you know, your kit improved as the war went on? Were you getting, for instance, better helmets? Were you getting a protection?
Oh, yes. We got the first lot of steel helmets along. But, of course, on the very first part, but there was no clothes even. We were all in civil clothes for a long, long time before the clothes came. Then, of course, a lot of uniforms came up. But, of course, they were all shapes and sizes. So we got properly sorted out.
When did you get your tin helmets?
Oh, just before we went to France. We didn't get a tin helmet until about a couple of months before we went to France.
Whereabouts would you have been on November the 11th at 11 a.m? A very historic date and time.
Oh, we were down at Marly-Means, and we'd come back to France, and we were down at Marly-Means, you know, a mining town. And just waiting to be demobilised.
Can you remember hearing about the armistice?
Oh, yes. Yes, they're telling us all about it. They signed the armistice in that train.
Who told you about it?
I think I read in the papers, really, those sort of things, because we weren't there. Read about all the... We did do some march through Paris, you know.
Did you?
Yes.
Well, could you tell me about that?
Well, they came, each division had to send a troop to Paris to do the big victory march through Paris. And it was the time that King George V fell off his horse. I saw him fall off his horse, but he really missed. He was trying to get his foot in his stirrup, and he fell off. But of course, everybody said he was drunk. But I don't think he was drunk. I think it was just overbalanced. But he was ever such a nice chap.
Was he hurt when he fell off?
I think he was a bit dazed. After the march, we went back to our billets, and that was all there was to it.
Mm. How big was the march? You know, what sort of regiments?
We assembled some miles outside Paris. Then we marched up the Champs-Élysées, right past the big tower place, and forget what we did. Oh, we listened to some French generals or somebody spouting. But
and how about the crowds? Did they come out to greet you?
Oh, yes, crowds everywhere. And there's a lot of American soldiers there as well.
Was that an honour to be part of that march, do you think?
Oh, yes, it was.